Picture a runway in Sweden. Flat light, cold air, the kind of morning where the sky can't decide what it wants to be, and rolling down that runway is an airplane that weighs 25,000 pounds. Twin booms, a high wing. Nothing spinning that burns a single drop of fuel, it lifts off. It flies. And with that, the record for the largest battery electric aircraft ever to leave the ground gets rewritten. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on Radio Hangar. Here's what you need to know. The airplane is called the Heart X1. It's a demonstrator built by Heart Aerospace, a Swedish company that's been working the electric regional aircraft problem for a few years now. And this week, according to reporting from AveWeb, that demonstrator completed its first flight. Now, the headline number is the one everybody's going to repeat. 25,000 pounds, largest battery electric aircraft ever flown. The company says it. The press releases say it, and as far as anyone can verify right now, it's true. But the headline doesn't tell the whole story. And the story underneath it is the part that actually matters to you, whether you fly a Cessna 172 on the weekends, or you're watching this industry to figure out where your career goes next. Let me get you the context. Then I'll tell you what I think, and I'll tell you clearly, when I'm giving you opinion versus fact. Before I go further, a quick word about who's keeping the lights on today. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. And if you've ever pinned your first solo shirt to a wall or kept the headset you learned on long after it stopped working, you already understand the impulse. We mark the milestones because the milestones are the whole point. AviationSoul.com. All right, back to Sweden. Here's the thing about Heart Aerospace that you need to understand to make sense of this flight. The X1 is not the airplane they're trying to sell, it's the airplane they're trying to learn from. The product, the thing Heart actually wants to put into airline service, is a regional aircraft they call the ES-30. The target is roughly 30 seats. The concept is a hybrid electric design, meaning it carries batteries for the electric portion of flight and a set of turbo generators to extend the range when the batteries alone won't get the job done. The pitch is short regional hops, the kind of routes that connect a small coastal town to a hub 200 miles away. The kind of flying that, in a lot of the world, either happens in an aging turboprop or doesn't happen at all. The X1, the airplane that just flew, is a full-scale demonstrator. Think of it as the flying laboratory. It's there to prove out the airframe, the electric propulsion, the flight controls, the handling. It is deliberately not the certified article. And that distinction is where a lot of people get electric aviation wrong, so let me slow down on it. This affects you if you've been reading electric aviation headlines for the last 5 years and quietly wondering why none of these airplanes are at your local field yet. Here's why. A first flight is a milestone. It is a real, hard-earned, genuinely difficult milestone. But a first flight is the beginning of the flight test program, not the end of it. Between the airplane leaving the ground for the first time and that same design carrying paying passengers, there is a mountain. The mountain is called certification. Let me put that in terms every pilot in this audience already understands. You know that every airplane you're legally allowed to rent and fly carries a type certificate or an equivalent airworthiness approval. Somebody proved to the regulator, whether that's the Federal Aviation Administration here in the States or the European Union Aviation Safety Agency across the Atlantic, that the design meets a standard structures, systems, flight characteristics, failure modes, all of it documented and tested and signed off. For a conventional airplane with a piston engine or a turbine, that process is brutal but well understood. We've been doing it for decades. The rulebook exists, the test methods exist, everyone knows the game. For a large battery electric airplane, a lot of that rulebook is still being written. How do you certify a battery pack for flight? What's the standard for thermal runaway containment? What happens to your range and your reserves when the battery degrades over hundreds of charge cycles? The same way the battery in your phone isn't what it was when you bought it? How do you handle the fact that an electric airplane weighs almost exactly the same at landing as it did at takeoff because you didn't burn off any fuel? Those aren't reasons electric aviation can't happen. They're the reasons it takes time. And when you see a first flight, what you're really seeing is a company earning the right to start answering those questions with real flight data instead of computer models. So that's the honest framing. Big milestone. Long road still ahead. Nobody's boarding an electric regional airliner next summer. Now let me give you the part I think is genuinely important, and it's about that weight number. 25,000 pounds matters more than it sounds like it should. Here's why. For most of the last decade, electric flight has lived at the small end, two-seat trainers, light experimental aircraft, proof-of-concept machines that could stay up for a short hop on a battery. And those airplanes taught us a lot, but there's always been a nagging question hanging over the whole enterprise. Does any of it scale? Batteries are heavy, That's the central stubborn fact of electric aviation. A gallon of aviation fuel packs an enormous amount of energy into a small light package, and as you burn it, your airplane gets lighter. A battery holds far less energy per pound, and it weighs exactly the same whether it's fully charged or nearly dead. Every engineer who's looked at electric flight has run into this wall. The bigger the airplane, the more the battery weight punishes you. So getting a 25,000-pound airframe off the ground on batteries is not just a bigger version of flying a two-seat electric trainer. It's a data point that says the scaling problem, while still very real, is not an absolute wall. You can build something at regional aircraft size and get it to fly on electric power. That is worth paying attention to, not because the airplane is finished, it isn't, but because for years, the skeptics, and I've been one of the careful ones, have said the physics gets worse as you go bigger. This flight is evidence about exactly how much worse, and where the current edge of the possible actually sits. Here's my opinion, and I'm flagging it clearly as opinion. I think the most likely future for airplanes this size is not pure battery electric, it's hybrid. And notice that's exactly what HART is actually planning for the production airplane, the ES-30. The demonstrator flies on batteries to prove the airframe and the electric propulsion. The airplane they want to sell carries generators too, because the range math on pure batteries at this size, with today's battery technology, is tight, really tight. That's not a knock on the program. That's a company being honest with physics, and I'd rather see a builder tell you they need a generator on board to make the mission work than sell you a fantasy about a pure electric regional airliner that the chemistry won't support yet. Let me widen the lens for a minute, because this flight doesn't happen in a vacuum. We are living through a genuinely strange and interesting moment in this industry. On one side, you've got the small electric airplanes that have already crossed the certification finish line and are flying at flight schools right now, quietly logging real hours. On the other side, you've got the electric vertical takeoff crowd, the companies chasing air taxis, burning through enormous piles of money to get their aircraft certified, and now in the middle, you've got regional electric and hybrid designs like this one, trying to prove that the technology can carry real payload over real distances. Some of these companies are going to make it, a lot of them are not. That's not pessimism, that's how every technological transition in aviation has ever worked. Go back and look at the early jet age, or the early days of powered flight itself. For every name you remember, there were a dozen you never heard of who ran out of runway, ran out of money, or ran out of physics. This affects you if you're a younger pilot trying to figure out where this all lands. My honest advice, watch the flight test data, not the press releases. Watch which companies are honest about the hard parts. Watch who's talking about certification timelines in specific terms versus who's just showing you glossy renderings. A first flight like the HART X1 is a real signal. It means an actual airframe actually flew. That already puts it ahead of a lot of the noise. And watch the money. I won't dwell on any one company today, but you've seen the headlines out of this sector. Big losses, big investment, revenue growing, but nowhere near covering the burn. That's normal for a hardware startup trying to certify a brand new kind of airplane. It's expensive and it's slow. The companies that survive will be the ones that manage to keep flying test articles and keep the funding alive at the same time. 4 years without blinking. Let me bring this back down to the ramp to what it means for the actual flying we do. If you're a general aviation pilot, none of this changes your Saturday morning tomorrow. Your airplane still burns 100 low lead or jet A. Your pre-flight is the same. Your reserves are the same. Nothing about the HART X1 touches your logbook this year or next year or probably for several years after that. But here's where it does reach you, eventually. The technology being proven on airframes like this one has a way of trickling down. The battery management systems, the electric motor designs, the thermal handling, the flight control work. Some of that knowledge migrates. We've seen it before with avionics, with composite structures, with a dozen technologies that started on the big expensive programs and eventually showed up in the airplanes regular pilots actually fly. The first certified electric trainers are already out there. If the regional size airplanes prove the next tier of the technology, the ripple keeps going slowly, but it goes. And there's one more piece I want you to hold on to, because it's the part that actually matters for how we all fly 10 and 20 years from now. Infrastructure. Think about what an electric airplane needs on the ground. It needs charging. Real charging, at real power levels, at the airport. That's a whole layer of infrastructure that mostly doesn't exist yet at the field where you keep your airplane. Every one of these demonstrator flights pushes the conversation about that infrastructure a little further along. Because you can build the most elegant electric airframe in the world, and if there's nowhere to charge it when it lands, it's a very expensive lawn ornament. So, when I look at the HART X1 lifting off in Sweden, I don't just see an airplane. I see a program forcing a set of questions into the open. How do you certify a big battery? How do you charge it at the gate? How do you make the range math work for a real airline route? Those questions had to get asked out loud eventually. Flights like this one are what make people answer them. Let me leave you with the balanced view, because that's the job. What actually happened this week is real, and it's significant. A 25,000-pound battery electric airplane flew for the first time, and as far as anyone can confirm, that's the largest of its kind ever to do so. That is a legitimate engineering achievement, and the people who built it earned it. What did not happen is the arrival of the electric airline age. That's still years out. It still depends on certification work that hasn't been done, and it may well arrive in hybrid form rather than pure electric. Anyone telling you otherwise is selling you the render, not the airplane. Both of those things are true at the same time. Big step forward, long road ahead, hold both in your head, and you'll read this whole sector correctly for the next decade. That's the story. My thanks to Avery Webb for the reporting on the Heart X1's first flight, and to Heart Aerospace for the details on the demonstrator and the airplane it's meant to lead to. You can find the rest of today's headlines over at RadioHangar.com. I'll be honest with you, I've flown behind a lot of engines in my life, and there's a part of me that will always love the sound of one. But the pilots who came before us would have given anything to see what we're watching get built right now. So keep an eye on it. This one's just getting started. This is Tower, clear of the runway.